Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The rest is still unwritten. I'm no Natasha Bedingfield, but I am Danny Pellegrino. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic. We're talking about The Hills New Beginnings today. I just watched the premiere and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Now, I thought it was going to be bad. Truth be told, I really thought this premiere was going to be shit, and it blew me out of the water. Now, I don't know if the whole season will be good, but I thought this first episode was fantastic, five-star TV. I was blown away, truly shocked, jaw-dropped, and shell-shocked. Clutched my invisible pearls watching it the entire time because I just felt like it had no business being good, and then I really liked it. So I'm feeling on cloud nine. Now, before we talk about The Hills New Beginnings, I have to say I also have an interview with Barbara Kay from The Real Housewives of New York on this episode of this podcast. So if you want to listen to my interview with Barbara Kay, just skip ahead. In the podcast episode description, I'll put the time code so you can check that. It'll be within a couple minutes. So just skip ahead if you just want the Barbara Kay interview. Now, we have got to talk about The Hills New Beginnings. First things first, I have to talk about the Natasha Bedingfield song because I love it. I've always loved it. I've always gotten a chill, a shiver every time I've heard that song. It reminds me, of course, of Lauren Conrad. But now there's a 2019 version of this song. So I don't know if you guys have heard the whole thing on iTunes, but Natasha Bedingfield redid Unwritten. And it's sort of like an EDM, I don't know, but that's what they call it, I think. Like an EDM version of Unwritten, and it's so good. The past 2 days, I've been listening to it on repeat, like in the shower, in the car, like everywhere I go, I'm just listening to the 2019 version. I think it is so good. And MTV is really leaning into that song. They're playing it every chance they can get in every promo. I mean, they're showing lyrics on the screen. It's like they can't get enough of that song. Natasha Bedingfield was at The Hills premiere, like singing it a cappella. Like they are doing everything they can to shove that song into our throats. And it's because it like triggers nostalgia in us, right? Like, I don't know about you guys, but every time I hear it, I feel a little bit better. Everything is so dark right now. It's like the news is so dark. We're all going through our shit. So it's nice to just hear that Unwritten song and just be like thinking about Lauren Conrad. You know what I'm saying? Not how she didn't go to Paris.
Lauren didn't go to Paris. She's going to always be known as the girl who didn't go to Paris.
Anyway, the new version of it is fantastic, and they updated it in a flawless way, so I'm really excited about that. Now, you guys, this premiere was fantastic. I wasn't expecting to like it at all. Like, I've been only hearing bad things about it. Like, all the rumors and everything, seemingly, they had nothing. Now, I don't know if they won't have anything for the rest of the season, but this episode was so good. I thought it caught us up with everyone. It introduced the new people so well. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with Pamela Anderson on this show. So many good things. Now, we open with this very dramatic montage of everyone kind of putting on makeup, and we're getting some narration. Now, we don't have the same narration like we did in the first series. So, do you remember LC would narrate the first one? Well, we don't have that anymore, but we did open with some sort of narration, and it was like Audrina, you know, I always say is the most boring person to ever be on TV. Truly the most boring human to be on television. Don't know how she's gotten on TV for this long. She's back. So is Whitney Port, the second most boring person to ever be on television. They're both back. So during this montage, we get little narration from each of the girls. We get from Audrina, I love this city, but sometimes it doesn't love me. Pretty matters. You're judged on how you look, everything you do. Now, this narration, I just want to say, like, I didn't feel like I delivered that narration with any sort of personality, and Audrina delivers it with even less personality. She's like, I love this city, but sometimes it doesn't love me. Pretty matters. You're judged on how you look, everything you do. And then Heidi comes in and she says, I knew Spencer was my soulmate when I first met him, the very first time I met him. And then Spencer comes in with, I would love to be famous again. Now, I love that Spencer is just being honest up front. He's just saying, I want to be famous again. And it's interesting, Matt and I have been watching the old series back, and I've forgotten about everything that happened. We were on season 2 or 3 the other day when Heidi and Spencer just got together. And it's so weird to see the journey that those two have been on. And it's weird to think about, like, what would have happened if Heidi had stayed with that other Jordan guy from season one, or if Heidi and Spencer had broken up, because they have been through so many really dark things. Do you remember all that surgery stuff and so many things with the paparazzi? And watching it back, it is darker than I remember in that way, like the beginning of Heidi and Spencer's relationship. Now, in the new series, it seems like they're going well, like everything is good in their marriage. So I don't know, but it's weird to watch back again. But I like that in this new one, Spencer seems to be upfront about everything. And there's moments where you could see Spencer like saying he wants to go out with the boys. And when he's out with Frankie and Brody, he's like, we got to drink. And I feel that you could see Spencer being like, okay, we have to make a good TV show. Because he's thinking about how he was the reality TV villain in the past and how he needs to do that again. So I thought that was very interesting. We do get Brody, who's hotter than ever. I mean, Brody, I think he's going to be the villain of the season, but I do think he's hotter than ever. He's gorgeous. He was always gorgeous. A beautiful man. I mean, the things I would like to do with Brody, wow. He says, when you find the right one, you got to settle down. Now, Brody's married now. He married Caitlyn, who's also the name of his father. Caitlyn Jenner, who's a new woman. We're just introduced to her. I don't think we knew her from the original series, but we're introduced to his wife, Caitlyn. And she seems nice. I like her. Although I am worried about their relationship. Obviously, they're showing us all these problems. She wants kids. He doesn't want kids. He's not ready for kids. And then she seems to think kids will help settle him down. And I don't think that's a good enough reason to have kids. Like, I think you should both want kids. So I'm a little bit worried about that. Then we hear from Misha, who's Misha was new. She says, when you're famous, people have a price tag on your head. People I trusted turn out to be monsters. Now, here's what I'm really loving about this season is that they're showing us like the effects of fame and all the things that happened sort of as a result of their fame. I mean, we saw news stories when Stephanie Pratt came on screen about how she had robbed $4,000 worth of clothes when she was on drugs. And then Misha had like a sex revenge thing going on. And I'm not saying these things can't happen to people all throughout the country, but I do think that it's a result of a lot of these people being in their 20s in the spotlight when the original Hills was on. And so I'm most fascinated by like what happened as a result of the first Hills. And it seems to me like that's seeping in, like we're seeing the fame side of things. It almost is like we always talk about on Vanderpump Rules, how those guys are famous now. Like they have money, they're famous, but on Vanderpump Rules, we're still pretending like they're poor. And I like that on the Hills, we're not pretending too much. We are pretending a little bit, but in terms of like money, wealth, that kind of thing, fame, we're not pretending. We're just showing that they were famous. They are famous. And I like that. Now, we are pretending when it comes to like Justin, Bobby, and Audrina. Like, I don't think they have any sort of relationship other than co-stars. I don't like that Justin, Bobby, and Audrina were pretending as a thing still. I don't like that that's happening. But I understand that we got to do what we got to do. But the fame thing, that's what I want from Vanderpump Rules. I want Vanderpump Rules to recognize that they're wealthy and that they are in magazines. They're not on magazine covers, but they're in magazines. And Stassi's a bestseller. And, you know, they don't work at that place. I don't want to pretend anymore on Vanderpump Rules. So I like that this is happening on the Hills. And hopefully this will encourage Vanderpump Rules, because they're the same production company. I hope it will encourage them to break the fourth wall a little bit. If we're responsive to the Hills, I would imagine the production company would say, yeah, let's do this a little bit more with Vanderpump Rules. So let's see. We open with Audrina, who's just moving into a new place. She's divorced. She has one kid. And she mentioned that she lived with her parents for a little bit in between the divorce. And now, and I just want to say that I posted a video of Lynn, Audrina's mom, on my Instagram page. If you haven't looked at it, go look at Danny Pellegrino. But Lynn is a star. And if you've never seen the paparazzi video of her outside of Beso, let me tell you something. It's the best thing ever. She's drunk as a skunk. And she's just telling the paparazzi anything and everything. At one point, she talks about Dancing with the Stars. The whole video is on YouTube, but I posted a little clip.
Fuck the Hills. Anything else you want to ask me? Because I've had it.
Well,
I've been a celebrity mom 8 years through this Hills bullshit. But Drina's going to the next level, baby.
Yeah. Out of all the Hills girls, I like
Audrina. Fucking Hills girls, Hills tramps. My baby's a star.
Yes, she is.
She's the only one that has some class, and I don't give a fuck about it. She's going to be so pissed I'm talking to you idiots.
I know.
Audrina, happy America. We love her. We're all American. Booyah.
She's like, my Audrina's a star. My Drina's a star. Fuck those Hills tramps. Fuck those Hills tramps, she keeps saying. Oh, it's so good. She calls Lauren Conrad like prissy. She's prissy. And then she just goes, America. She talks about Jimmy Kimmel at one point, but she calls him Jibby Kibble. She says, that Jibby Kibble. Jibby Kibble.
After the Jibby Kibble.
People are literally like carrying her off frame, and it's just so good. Drina is the star. Fuck those tramps. My baby's a star. Oh, it's one of the best things ever. So I hope that we get an appearance from Lynn Patridge on the show. Like, that's all I really want from this season. But anyway, we see Audrina moving into her new house. Whitney and Heidi show up, and they all talk about kids. Heidi's having trouble leaving the kid. So she says she just has trouble leaving him. And let me tell you something. This is something that I noticed when I did Heidi and Spencer's podcast. I was a guest, like, a couple months ago. And I went into the podcast studio, and they were both lovely. Loved them. I loved chatting with them. They were so sweet. But I noticed, and Heidi had talked about, how she had trouble leaving Gunnar. And this was like right when they started filming The Hills. And she had like a babysitter or a nanny or something with them. But she was even having trouble like leaving Gunnar with the nanny or babysitter who was with them. Like, I'm talking just outside the studio. They were like, the baby was just outside the room. And Heidi was even having trouble having the baby outside the room. And so I think this is a real thing with them. I don't think this is like a made-up thing for camera. I think if I didn't know that, I would be looking at it like, this is a made-up storyline. But I swear, you guys, I noticed it with my own eyes. It was like a weird... I mean, it works. If it works for them, it works for them. Just something I noticed. Again, they were lovely. At one point, though, they did both leave the studio. And, like, I was like on the microphone, and they just left me in there to go tend to the baby, which was fine. I was able to give a promo for my show, but I don't know. They were lovely. Anyway, we see the three of them talking. Now, I don't think the three of them have been in the same room since the first series ended. I don't believe that it happened. But here they were trying to talk about their lives. And Audrina started crying. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. Audrina is like trying to push out a tear. Is she going to be a star of this one? Like, is Audrina going to be the star? And after watching the whole episode, I think it is mostly going to be Audrina as the star, which is shocking to me. Now, Audrina says the door's not closed with Justin Bobby. You guys, that's where I was like, ugh, no, Audrina, I'm not into this. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't like pretending that her and Justin Bobby are a thing. Not into it. Now, I do have to say, in between all of our scenes, we're getting great music. We're getting very good, current, hip music. And that was one of the things that we loved about the first version of The Hills. But now we're so accustomed on Vanderpump Rules to having the worst transitional music ever, which you know I love it. You know I love the transitional music on VPR because it's ridiculous and it's funny, but it's, you know, in the musical sense, it's the worst music of all time. Boy, you are a boy. You're not a man. We need to talk. And so hearing good music on The Hills for the transitions is such a delight. It's like a shock to the system. I said, like, it makes the Vanderpump Rules transitional music sound like trains screeching against a train track. Like, it's so bad. Or a baby's crying. I don't know. So bad. So then we cut to Stephanie arriving. She's coming back to LA. She's from overseas. She is talking to Frankie on the phone, and Frankie's throwing her a party. And I'm excited to see her relationship with Heidi and Spencer, because it's so fucked up according to all the blogs and their podcasts and all that stuff. So I think there's going to be a lot of drama there, but I don't know how much of that is real. Like, I don't know how much of that I buy, because it feels like they both kind of maybe put it on for the show or for press or things like that. I don't know. I'm very confused about it, though. I listened to one of their podcasts. I listened to Stephanie has a podcast, and she was talking about Heidi and Spencer, and it seemed crazy, and so crazy that it had to be real. Do you know what I'm saying? It didn't seem like just made up crazy. It seemed like, oh, they have like some weird dynamics going on here. So I am excited about it. I'm just a little bit skeptical. We also saw Spencer in that Versace robe. Did you notice that? Matt was like literally looking up that robe the other day because he wanted to buy it. And then he looked at the price tag and was like, nope. But Spencer was wearing it. And I love that Versace robe. I wish I could afford just like anything I wanted. That's neither here nor there. But I wish that I lived in a world where I could afford everything. Anyway. Then we cut to Hyde. Seeing Hyde was cool because I was like, that makes me feel like The Hills. The Hills, I think, of nightclubs.
Do you know why I'm mad at you?
Why, Lauren?
You know why I'm
so seeing them at Hyde, I don't even know if Hyde is like a hot nightclub these days, but it was nice to see them there. So we see Brody and Frankie. Frankie, who had maybe three lines in the entire first series, is back and seemingly a main character. We're going to meet his wife next week. Anyway, Frankie's there. Brody, again, still very hot. Frankie has two kids and a club empire. Brody's got Caitlin, no kids. And here's the thing that's a little weird watching these three talk. And Spencer was one like ordering drinks. It feels like they don't want to party. They don't want to have the crazy nightlife. They don't want to maybe play by the rules of reality TV. Because on reality TV, we need the drunk antics, the fighting. And it seems like Frankie's got a nice life. At first, it seemed like Brody did too. Heidi and Spencer have the kid. You know, Whitney seems like she's a very stable mom who just wants to sit at home with the baby, go to work, do that kind of thing. So it seems to me that most of the cast, they don't want to get messy. And that's maybe going to be an issue. Maybe down the line. Right now, it's fine. And apparently, Brody didn't invite Spencer to his wedding, which is not surprising because I don't think that any of these people are friends. I don't think that any of them are actually friends, but they are coworkers. And I bet you, if Brody knew that there was going to be a reboot of The Hills, he would have invited Spencer to the wedding. I'm just saying. Then we cut to Audrina and Stephanie. Now, they met for a drink, and Stephanie was sitting right next to a Gather pillow. You know I love a home good that says Gather. A pillow, a blanket, a tea towel, a shower curtain, anything. You walk into my house, you'll see a few items that say Gather. And I just loved seeing it on screen. It made me so happy. Maybe that's why I love the premiere, because I saw that Gather pillow, and I was like, I'm in. That's all it took. All it took. And then at this little meeting, Audrina cried again. So this is two times that Audrina has squeaked out a tear. And again, the first series, Audrina was the most boring human to ever be on television. Like, as of that first series, so boring. Again, number two, Whitney Port. And oh, by the way, I'm not just talking about on The Hills. And I'm not even just talking about on MTV. I'm talking about throughout all of television. Any show ever. Audrina was the number one most boring human to be on TV. Whitney Port, number two. Lauren Conrad, number three. That's my ranking. I don't know, everyone can do their own rankings, but that's my ranking. Lauren Conrad was very boring, but yes, somehow magnetic. Like, she had this weird quality about her being like very boring, but I wanted to watch every minute of her on screen. So that was that's a powerful quality. She's gifted. Very gifted. But now in this new series, I'm thinking that maybe Audrina's a star. Is she a star? I don't know. She looks like a different human being. I mean, all of their faces are different. Maybe not all, but most of their faces are different. Every one of the women has a different face. Audrina, Heidi, Stephanie, they all have different faces. And I'm okay with it. Their faces look beautiful. The new ones look great. But they're all new. And so I'm wondering if Audrina is going to be a star. Is she? I don't know. We'll have to see. Anyway, then we cut to Brandon's house. We met Brandon, which was very exciting. I didn't know if I'd like this Brandon. Brandon is, of course, Pamela and Tommy Lee's son, their love child. I thought he was magnetic and fun. He seems young and vibrant. He seems like he'll be messy. Very excited about Brandon. And even more so excited about his mother, Pamela, Queen Pamela Anderson, who showed up on screen. And I squealed, you guys. When I saw Pamela Anderson show up, she got out of that car looking like a rough night. She just hopped out of that car. She looks like she just had a rough night out in the 80s. And I was so excited to see her. She seems like such a breath of fresh air. And I was trying to think back of like what I remember about Pamela Anderson, like aside from Baywatch. And I remember she had that hepatitis C scare that was all on the news. She had the sex tape. She had that movie Barbed Wire. But there wasn't a lot, yet somehow she was like such an iconic part of pop culture because of Baywatch that we think of, like we can, doesn't it feel like she was like a bigger star? I don't mean to diminish her stardom. It was just like, I mean, the things that come to mind, it's like hepatitis C, like that's what I think about. So that's, you know, not like a huge, she wasn't in like an A-list movie, unless you count the sex tape as an A-list movie. I mean, everyone saw it opening weekend. So, you know, Brandon looks like his dad too, doesn't he? Looks like the dad. And Brandon said that his mom moved out to France when Trump was elected. And I don't know. I'm excited about Pamela Anderson. I just am. I want her to be on the show a lot. I want her to get some of her girlfriends together and do like a Housewives-esque spinoff. I think her hep C was cured. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point is, very excited about Brandon. Very excited about Pamela. Love it. Pamela also went around and like saged the whole place and then saged his dick. She saged Tommy Lee's dick, or not Tommy Lee, the Brandon Lee. And then we cut to Misha Barton in the convertible. It was a very OC-esque intro. She was meeting Stephanie at the beach. She said she was a child actress. I, of course, remember her from the OC. She was also in Notting Hill. She was in The Sixth Sense. I mean, Misha Barton was a star. When the OC came out, she was the it girl. By the way, that show was amazing, and I missed the OC. But Misha Barton was a huge star back then. And it's interesting to see her talking about her stardom. And I'm so fascinated by the fact that she like left LA and then had to come back. And I like seeing this other side of celebrity. And again, I hope we lean into that a lot because I'm very interested in that. And we even talk about her feud with Perez Hilton. And we saw in the preview that there's a fight between them. And I've heard, I had a friend who was at the event that Perez and Misha got in a fight at. And I think it'll be good. He turned into a monster. But I'm very excited to see like this dynamic between Perez and Misha. I think there's going to be something good there. And Misha has a very low baritone voice. I mean, it reminds me of the Cookie Monster voice that I do for Luann. And it's very low smoker's voice. And I'm okay with it. It's like a very sexy, it's a very sexy voice she's got. Anyway, I'm very into this whole dynamic between her and Stephanie talking about ODing on drugs and saying that they came out on the other side of that. They survived and now they're thriving on the Hills reboot. I'm proud of them and I'm excited to see what happens. Fame really fucks people up though. And I think that we're seeing that. We're seeing the effects of that on this show. Then we cut to Audrina and Justin Bobby. They meet for dinner and we get like a very classic Hills scene. This was the most Hillsy of Hills scenes. It was like Justin Bobby and Audrina just meeting and staring at one another. And it started off with Justin like speaking in French to her and she just stared off into the distance and was like, I don't know where to start. I mean, she's so boring. Audrina is just so boring. And she says, are you dating anyone? And he says, I feel something coming on. I mean, he's always talking in fucking circles like the Riddler. He's like fucking Jim Carrey is the Riddler, just talking in circles. You can never get a goddamn thing out of Justin Bobby. You can never make any sense of what he's saying. Even from the beginning, it's like he just stares off. In this scene, they were sitting next to a fire and his face was red. I mean, he looked like anger in the movie Inside Out. His face was just beet red. And I think it was because they were sitting next to a fire. But also, he was probably nervous to be on camera. It's been years since he's been on camera. But this whole conversation, it was just so bizarre. It was so old school Hills. And again, we're pretending like they're going to be doing each other, but I don't think they are. He's such a fuckboy, too. You know that term, fuckboy? It's like, I always hear that term fuckboy, and for a while I used to wonder, like, what does that mean? Like, what's a fuckboy mean? And I think it just means Justin Bobby. Like, that's what it is.
Homeboy wore combat boots to the beach. I know you don't want to call that your boyfriend. I know you don't.
They stared at each other for a good 45 seconds, too, at the end of the scene. It was just, they were staring for 45 seconds. And that's what I like out of a Hills episode. And that made me feel like we were watching a Hills episode. And I applaud them for sticking with them for 45 seconds too long, where they were just staring, because they were never did on Vanderpump Rules. Could you imagine 45 seconds of James and Lala just staring at each other? It would never happen. This episode, 45 seconds. I didn't time it, but it was probably that. Then we cut to Audrina and Caitlin meeting at the pool, while Justin, Bobby, and Brody meet at the beach to surf, and like we're pretending here. This is where it started to lose me. We're pretending. Also, when Brody asked Justin, Bobby about Audrina, he says she hangs with the homies. He says that's what he likes about Audrina. She hangs with the homies. And just take a moment to let that sit. She hangs with the homies. Anyway, then we cut to everyone getting ready for this night out for the Pratt party. They're all putting on their makeup, and we're getting these very glamorous shots of them putting on jewelry and clothes, and this is something we also don't get out of Vanderpump Rules, so I really appreciate it. I like the glamour. I like the glitz. I like that we're not pretending that they don't have nice dresses to put on. On Vanderpump Rules, sometimes it's like, I don't know, the shots just aren't as glamorous, so I'm into it. Now, Audrina was getting ready with Misha, and apparently Perez was invited to this party, so this might be our blow-up next week. I don't know. Also, Audrina said, like, well, you're bound, now that you're back in LA, Misha, you're bound to run into Perez Hilton. And it's like, why is she bound to run into Perez Hilton? LA is very big. It's not like you're just going to run into Perez Hilton at Starbucks. Very odd. And then we get, at the very end of the episode, everyone's walking to the club. And it was weird if you noticed some of the shots were during the daytime. Like, Audrina's walking in during the daytime, and then Heidi and Spencer were walking at nighttime. So, I don't know, maybe they all arrived at different times. But the episode was good. I loved it. I loved it. I'm excited to watch more. I want to tell you guys that I'm not necessarily going to be recapping every week. I want to be up clear about it. I had some wine tonight, but I'm not going to be doing every week. We'll keep going, maybe. We'll see. Don't yell at me if I don't. I didn't want to get into a Lindsay Lohan situation. So when I did Lindsay Lohan recaps, I got stuck doing the entire season, and I loved doing them. I did, but I didn't love the show. It was like, I liked doing the episodes, but I didn't love watching the show. And so I don't want to get stuck doing The Hills if it turns out to be bad. I want to be able to jump ship anytime that I feel like it. So right now, just anticipate this is going to be the only recap. And then maybe we'll do more. We'll see. Anyway, I want to play my interview with Barbara Kay from The Real Housewives of New York. It was so interesting talking to her. She told me some good stuff. I was just blown away. And there's been certain moments on The Real Housewives of New York where I felt really bad for Barbara Kay, and then other times where I thought she just didn't fit in. And it was just very interesting to talk to her and get her side of things and her perspective. So I hope you all enjoy this chat. Before I play it, I want to say, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to get bonus episodes of the show and you want to help support this podcast, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you click the Become a Patron button, you could donate $4 more per month. You get the bonus episodes. I did a recap of The Hills pilot, the original one, which is over there. And there's a bunch of old Housewife recaps over there of earlier seasons and that kind of thing. And more importantly, I'm doing one bonus a month, but more importantly, the money supports the show. So thank you. If you want one of the t-shirts, go to everythingiconic.threadless.com. I will have a very exciting announcement later on this week. I can't wait to share with you guys. But until then, please enjoy this interview with Barbara Kay. Love you guys so much for listening. I will leave you with this. I love you so much.
This is all a journey, honey.
This is just part of the journey.
It ain't no journey.
Happy Audrina, America! We love her.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Okay, guys, I'm here with Barbara Kay, of course, from The Real Housewives of New York. Barbara, how are you doing today?
I'm so good, Danny. How are you?
I'm good. I'm thrilled to be talking with you. And congrats on Heels of Steel. My copy is in the mail. It's on its way. I'm so excited to read it.
Thank you so much for ordering it. Every time somebody orders it, I'm like, yes!
I'm very excited. Now, what's it been like watching yourself? This is your first season on The Real Housewives of New York. What's it been like?
You know, sometimes when I watch, you know, I get the copy in advance. And I'll watch it then on TV, and I'll have an outer body experience because I'll say, is this really me on TV? You know, it's like just almost watching another person that you're familiar with, but because time goes by and you're not really like, did I really say that? Did I really do that? Mm-hmm. Who is that person?
Was there ever a time where you were going to join before? Because you've appeared before in previous seasons, like here and there, you've been in the background, we've seen you around. Has there ever been another season where you were in talks to join or anything like that?
Yeah, in season 4, I was asked to try out for Real Housewives, and I went through a very long process. And at the end, I found out it was between myself and Cindy Barsha. And I really thought I was going to get it, but Cindy ended up getting it. She had just had her twins. And, you know, she seemed right for the show. She's a really nice person, so I was really happy for her.
Yeah. Now that the season's almost over, are you happy you did it? How do you feel now that it's almost over?
I mean, I'm really happy I did the show. I think that, you know, I'm a true believer. If there's an opportunity in front of you, never turn it down, because you never know what can become of that situation and how it will platform you into other things in your life. And, you know, I just think that that was put in front of me at the right time, especially with my book, Heels of Steel, coming out. Actually, the publication date is tomorrow, June 25th. So I'm really excited.
Now, we see you struggling a little bit in Miami. Was there ever a point throughout the season, or was that point in Miami, that you wanted to kind of get off the ride?
You know, there were a couple of points throughout the season that I felt like, you know, this might not be for me. I definitely don't feel like I'm welcomed into the group. And it was really in Miami that I didn't want to come back. When I went for the jog, I had an American Express card and my cell phone, and I felt like that was enough to get me back to New York. But, you know, that was one side of me. And then another side of me is a true believer in never quitting. And I take that with me to the bank, whether I'm, you know, working in construction and doing a project I don't like, or there's just a bad situation that I got myself into. You just kind of, you know, just play it out. Don't ever quit. That's my motto.
What was going through your mind during that Miami dinner where Bethany was seemingly losing it on Luann? What was going through your head?
I thought that Bethany had a lot of pent up sadness and anger, some of it towards Luann, some of it towards, you know, of course, Dennis passing away, and the fact that, you know, here we were trying to help Luann, you know, with her sobriety, and there it was, Dennis passing away from an overdose. So it was, I mean, just could you imagine that, how close to home it hit? I think anybody might have had that same type of feeling. Maybe she unleashed it at the wrong time, you know, in front of everyone. But I think it was something that was just so sad inside of her. And that's how it came out.
There was a moment at that dinner where Luann said something about you. She said, "Barbara is my friend." And then she says, "was my friend." And we see your face, and it looks like it almost hit you like a ton of bricks. And it broke my heart, truly, to watch that. And did you catch that moment, or what was going through your head in that moment?
You know, I didn't even have to see her mouth. I know Luann so well that I know her facial expressions. And I know at that point, she was probably not going to talk to me, or she was going to be mad at me. And I felt like it was taking me back to the hot mic moment with Carol. And again, you know, I was not vocal throughout a lot of the season. I mean, I did what I felt I was supposed to do, and that was to protect Luann, but maybe I protected her too much. But I was very sad when she said that.
Right. You mentioned the hot mic moment. That was a couple seasons ago with Carol. Did that experience make you hesitant to join?
You know, it did, because I didn't want to be put in a position where friendship were at risk again. And, you know, I know what Luann has gone through over the past 10 years. I mean, both good and bad. And I wasn't sure I was ready to step into the lines then. Mm-hmm. But like I said before, I am glad that I did.
There were these rumors online, and I don't know if they're just rumors, that there was a legal issue with Bravo over that hot mic moment. And there are these rumors online that there was a part of the settlement or part of the deal was that you were joining the cast. Can you just clear that up?
That's absolutely false. There's no truth to that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, there was never a lawsuit. I just tried to get my voice and my presence off of that specific episode, because I never signed a release and I didn't want to be a part of it. But after it was dropped, it was never brought up again. So no, that's absolutely false.
Okay, I want to switch gears a little bit to something a little lighter, but also not serious. The spray tan in Miami that got all over the white furniture. Did you tell anyone before you left that you got the spray tan over the furniture?
I have to tell you, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I didn't see it. But I really didn't see, like, I would be the last person in the world to ever damage. I'm always, like, so particular. Like, if I borrow something from somebody, I'm like, oh, my God, I have to give it back. I have to put it in the right place. So I think I was just so oblivious, and I was really kind of emotional down there, you know. And when you're emotional, you don't see things. Things become unclear. And even, you know, I just didn't see it. You know, and if I saw it, I would have definitely cleaned it or brought it to somebody's attention, because I never would have wanted to leave somebody's furniture like that. I'm so embarrassed. I hope they got it off.
There were these things that his name is Tej, one of the workers that was there in Miami. He came out later and said he was an actor or cast for the show. Did you guys know some of the help was cast for the show?
Danny, I had no idea. I thought he was just, you know, one of the people that were hired to help in the house that week.
Now, we saw that hot mic moment with Carol. Are you still friendly with Carol? Have you seen or heard from Carol?
The last time I saw Carol was at Dorinda's. She had something in February. I think it was like a Valentine's Day party. And I ran into her there. And that was the first time in a long time. And we chatted for like a minute or two, but since then we haven't been in touch at all.
Yeah. As an LGBTQ+ person myself, I felt the way that the women treated your sexuality earlier in the season was a little bit troubling. I was wondering if you had any words on this. It's almost seemed like they treated it like a party trick at times. I mean, specifically Sonia talking about being fluid, and then Ramona at one point in Miami said, you know, assume somebody was your partner. Did you have any perspective on that?
Yeah, I have a lot to say about that, and I'm part of the community as well. So I first of all, I was accused of a lot of things: a pot stirrer, having no style, being rough around the edges, and, you know, I did have a relationship with a woman for over a year that I was in love with. And I think the way that Sonia was treating it she was making it like it was a deviant act. And if kissing a woman or being in love with someone is a deviant act, then shame on them. I mean, I think it was, the undertone was very mean spirited. And I don't think it's how you treat another human being or attacking someone for who they choose to love. I mean, it's just not who I am. And that made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I felt uncomfortable watching. There were just a couple moments specifically with Sonia, and I love Sonia. It was just a couple moments where it felt very icky.
Yeah, I mean, it made me feel like I was doing something scandalous. And, you know, the derogatory comments really got to me. I just thought they were really mean-spirited. And they were taking, like, a show that to me is, even though we fight and we kind of come back together, they were taking something that's beautiful, love, you know, and they were taking the lightheartedness out of it, and they were kind of attacking me for who I chose to love.
Now, Ramona and even Dorinda, too, had said some things about your clothing and just some mean comments as well. What did you make of that?
You know, I think Ramona is someone who is just a jealous person. I've had kind of, I don't want to say run-ins, but I've met Ramona prior to doing the show, and she never remembered my name. She never was nice to me. She even questioned Luann one day. We were at a bar. Why am I here? So, you know, we never had a good interaction. And I think from when I came on and I was Lou's ally in the beginning, she felt like, I guess, she needed to protect Dorinda. So she came on very strong, and she was extremely mean and not welcoming to me. But, you know, I just went along and I did what, you know, I tried to become part of the group, even though it was really difficult at times.
Right. Looking back now, do you think you were maybe a little too ride or die with Luann? Do you think maybe you should have taken a step back, or do you think you did the right thing?
Yeah, I think I was a little too ride or die. I was so involved. I don't even think people realize this or they really understand, but I was very, very involved, more than anyone actually, involved with her intervention. You know, not only was I power of attorney, but I dealt with all the and so to me, it was protecting her at all costs. It was not that I was being ride or die because I wanted to you know, I was her doormat. I was trying to kiss her butt. It was nothing like that. I was simply protecting another human being because she was so fragile and so on the edge of disaster in all areas that I really wanted to make sure that she was okay. And that's what good friends and good humans do. And I would have done it for anyone that was a good friend of mine.
And how's Luann doing now?
She's awesome. She's really good. We were just together yesterday. We were on the boat. She's a great captain. She was boating us around yesterday in the Hamptons, and she's really strong. I mean, she's just unbelievably strong. She's really focused on her cabaret act and her new song, and she's doing great.
Great. Now, what about the reunion? What can you tell us about the reunion?
You know, I wasn't there for most of it. Actually, I came in because I'm only considered a friend on the mm-hmm. Housewives. So I came in on the tail end. And just from being there, the short time I was there, it was crazy intense, Danny. Oh my God.
I can't wait, Barbara.
Oh, my God. I just can't. Like I could be building any job in New York City. This was like far more intense.
I can only imagine. I love the reunions. Do you think you'll be back next season?
I don't know. You know, it really depends. I was on Housewives for a reason because the producers wanted me there. And I think I lent something, some voice of reason, being grounded. So I lent something to the season. If the producers want me back, then there's a reason for me being back. If they don't want me to be back this season, then you know what? I wasn't meant to be back.
Right.
So that's really how I look at it.
Did you get any speculation on what happened with Jill? Because it seemed like from the blogs and everything that Jill had filmed more, but then in the season, we don't really see her much. Do you have any sense on that?
I think that Jill only filmed maybe 3 or 4 times. I think maybe they showed, I remember a scene where she was playing tennis with Luann. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I know she was, I remember filming with her, at a Ramona's charity event. But I don't remember her being in that scene. And, no, I didn't really see much of her at all.
Yeah.
To be honest.
This season's also a little bit shorter than others. Has the cast gotten any insight in why it's a couple episodes shorter than normal?
No, I didn't think it was shorter. I mean, we have, I think it's 17 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a few episodes shorter, but I just wondered if, you know, it's jam-packed, and that's what I've been saying. Even though it's a couple episodes shorter, it's still such a wonderful season, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think the content was there, and yeah. I think, I mean, from me being a fan and looking and watching it, I mean, I think that it was just really packed with a lot of, you know, just camaraderie and conflict and entertainment from the start to the end. So I don't feel like, I hope the fans don't feel like it was, if they were, you know, shorted.
No, I think it was like one of the best seasons. It's been fantastic. So I don't think been a problem. Is there anything else you want to clear up from the season or something you want to let fans know from the show?
No, I just think that, again, I was so glad to be on the show. And I think just to being involved in things like Dorinda's aerobic and being involved with like Luann's cabaret and getting to meet Tinsley, and she's really sweet, and you know, and you know, even with Ramona, I just think it was a great experience, and I'm glad that it platformed me to have some fans and to inspire some people who want to be in business, and also to get people to read my book, Heels of Steel.
Yeah, tell me about the book.
So Heels of Steel is really very much based on my story, Bridget Steele, who's the main character in the book. And I really was interested in writing a story like this because I think all women need to know that you can be inspired, you can have passion, you can have determination, not have any resources whatsoever, and still be a success, you know, with a bunch of different ingredients and some passion. And the book is really about this woman, Bridget Steele, and how she's so determined to start a construction company because her dad put a hammer in her hand when she was 9 years old and taught her how to build, and how she felt at a young age such self-esteem and so empowered by the fact that she was able to build these bunk beds with her dad that her sister and her slept on. And here she is, like 20 years later, building the largest female-owned construction company in New York City and breaking through the glass ceiling and being ridiculed and having, you know, men try and grope her and undermine her. And actually all the things that some of the things I went through on Housewives, you know,
right.
And she's able to persevere. And there's all these amazing characters in the book and how she eventually went on to win this project to build the tallest skyscraper in New York City.
Now, you mentioned some of the experiences that the character had in the construction world. Did you have those same experiences? Were you groped along the way, or did things like that happen in the construction world for you?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there were times when I thought I was going on to a job site to meet with a client. And this was early on in my career. And he wanted to meet me at 6 o'clock. And, you know, sometimes you're naive and you're like, okay, well, he wants to meet me at 6 o'clock. That's okay. And then you go there seriously thinking that you're going to get this project. And then 5 seconds later, he's asking you out on a date, trying to make out with you, you know? So those are the things, you know, and just walking in where I can remember as a, you know, walking in a warehouse and a guy just multiple times grabbing me. And, you know, that's why, you know, I want to be that person that inspires women. And it's not like I feel bad about it. Like, I'm who I am because of my experiences. I was put on this earth to be an entrepreneur, to be in the construction industry, to write stories, to inspire women to be, you know, a badass, powerful woman like myself. So I don't feel bad about any of my experiences.
What advice do you have for a woman that might be going through something similar in a male-dominated field? And they're trying to get through it. What would you say to them to help them kind of persevere through it?
Yeah, I mean, you have to really dig deep. I mean, self-esteem is so important, and believing in who you are is so important. And I'm not saying don't be sad or don't realize that what just happened is wrong. And you can make choices. You can walk away from the situation. You can, you know, change things. Don't ever quit. My advice to anyone is don't ever let them get the best of you, because if, you know, people try and undermine you and make you want to quit all the time, but always dig deep and realize your own power and your own strength and determination is so important, because I could have quit a number of times, but if I did, I never would have been where I am today, and I never would have been on Housewives, and I never would have written my first novel or my, you know, the two other home improvement books. I really believe, and that's why, like, I try and answer as many people as possible on Instagram and Twitter who do contact me and ask me questions about business and how I did it, because I think it is so important to dig so deep within yourself and try and find the strength to be able to, you know, forge ahead and, you know, realize your passion and your goals.
Right. Well, it is so amazing that you've been able to survive and thrive in an industry like construction, because it is such a male-dominated field. And so I just raise my hat to you, Barbara Kay.
Thanks, Danny. Right.
I want to end this with just a few lightning round questions. Pop culture. Do you have a favorite movie?
My favorite movie is Salt with Angelina Jolie.
Right. Oh my God, that's a good one. Yeah. What do you watch? The other Housewives?
You know, I've watched Atlanta and New Jersey, and Beverly Hills, and a little Beverly Hills.
Yeah. If you were choosing for People magazine, either Sexiest Man Alive or the Sexiest Woman Alive, who would you choose?
Sexiest Man, Bradley Cooper for sure. Right. And also Slash for Guns.
Oh, you love a Slash.
Yeah. Right. And I think woman, God, I want to say Jennifer Lopez right now.
Yeah, she's stunning.
Yeah, stunning. She's really gorgeous.
What's your favorite Mariah Carey song?
Hero.
Such a good one. Now, what's the first thing that comes to mind when I say the following name? So just whatever pops in your head. Ramona.
No comment.
Dorinda.
Aerobics.
Sonia.
Hurricane.
Bethany.
Boss.
Luann.
Giovanni.
Tinsley.
Sweet.
Barbara Kay, thank you so much. What's next for you? Where can people find you on social media? Where can people get the toolkit? What can you tell us everything.
Sure. So on social media, on Instagram, I'm Miss Barbara Kay on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to get my toolkit, you can go on to diva.com. That's DIY-VA.com. If you want to buy Heels of Steel, you can check us out on Amazon, Walmart, Target, Barnes and Noble. And if you want us to build a project, you can contact Evergreen Construction.
You are doing it all, Barbara. And again, congratulations on the book. I know how hard it is to get a book out there, so it's such an amazing accomplishment. Congrats.
Thank you. And I will let you know as soon as it's going to be a TV series, because we're heading down that path right now.
Oh, my God. You know what, Barbara? I was thinking, like, you and Bethany would be great. Remember she did that Frederick show where she was, it was like a real estate show? You and Bethany should team up for a separate real estate show where you're like building it.
I like that idea, Danny. You know, she's a great designer. I mean, she's got such a flair for style, that woman. I mean, she can come in and design my house any day of the week. She's really good. And I could build it. So there you go.
I'd watch. Barbara Kay, thank you so much for chatting with me. This was so fun.
Thanks, Danny.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.